All denominations have their martyrs, and all are more or less equally at risk. The Evangelical Missionary and Persecution Watch organization, Open Doors, has ranked the most dangerous places for a Christian to live today. The list of the top 10 places is instructive if we include in parentheses who is doing the persecuting. The honor of the worst goes to North Korea, communists, then Somalia, Muslims, Afghanistan, Muslims, Pakistan, Muslims, Sudan, Muslims, Syria, Muslims, Iraq, Muslims, Iran, Muslims, Yemen, Muslims, and Eritrea, leftist national tyranny by the People's Front for Democracy and Justice. A glance at the next 10 worst underlies an obvious trend. Libya, Muslims, Nigeria, Muslims, Maldives, Muslims, Saudi Arabia, Muslims, India, Hindus, Uzbekistan, Muslims, Vietnam, Communist and Buddhist, Kenya, Muslims, Turkmenistan, Muslims, and Qatar, Muslims. Radical Islam is the most potent source of anti-Christian persecution. But unsurprisingly, the remaining communist regimes, China, North Korea, Vietnam, Laos, and Cuba, still routinely persecute Christians, even if they don't martyr them on a 20th century scale. Christians are also easy targets of nationalist regimes, sometimes under brutal military rule, sometimes engaging in ethnic warfare, as in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Myanmar, Burma. Predictably, the secular press largely ignores the persecution of Christians today, just as it ignored it when perpetrated by communists in the 20th century. Western Christians, however, are slowly but surely becoming more and more aware of the worldwide threats. So, even with our differences, we Christians are being driven together by persecution and martyrdom. In the United States, it isn't outright martyrdom that Christians experience, but the lesser modes of persecution by the dominant, decaying, secularized culture. Protestants and Catholics alike lament the prevalence of divorce and cohabitation because both believe that marriage is a holy, God-ordained institution, even if they don't agree on whether it's a sacrament. Both fight side by side for religious freedom, the protection of the right to worship, and the right to have a Christian moral understanding inform our common political life, even with our differences in the way we worship and the finer lines of what we believe. Catholics and Protestants have grown together to act as a counterforce against aggressive secularism at home and persecution abroad. More and more, we Christians feel as if we're being backed into a single great castle, to borrow from Tolkien again, as in the Battle of Helm's Deep. There, as we rub shoulders, make common plans, eat common meals, and fight side by side against the seemingly endless tide of destroyers, the old controversies and old wounds fade by comparison, and a fresh charity prevails. Ironically, there's also a drawing together of serious Orthodox Christians when faced with heterodoxy within their own churches. An Orthodox Catholic, an Orthodox Lutheran, or an Orthodox Presbyterian have much more in common, theologically, than an Orthodox and liberal Catholic, an Orthodox and liberal Lutheran, or an Orthodox and liberal Presbyterian. Liberalism represents a common foe seeking to erode the central doctrinal integrity that defines Christianity, replacing the Nicene Creed's crisp, straight lines about the Holy Trinity and the economy of salvation with the Nice Creed's soft, wavy mixture of pop psychology and political correctness. I'm inclined to think all of this is an act of providence, or better, that God is patiently bringing a great good out of evident evils. However that may be, it's clear that Christianity itself is under attack, from without and from within. And in facing these common threats, true Christians realize that for Christianity to survive at all, to borrow Benjamin Franklin's famous words, spoken in another context, we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately. In that spirit, Protestants and Catholics are coming together in their fundamental understanding of the Christian faith. In this happy development, too, the Reformation.